Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, our mission is to really get into the weeds on ternary logic, specifically looking at their multi-chain anchors. This is Pillar 8, right? The architecture that's supposed to guarantee, well, permanent and immutable truth. It's a pretty bold claim. They talk about these anchors being the system's unchangeable witnesses. Not for storing your data, though. More like external proof. Proof of existence, proof of integrity, proof of time. Okay, let's unpack that.
Yeah, and what's really interesting, I think, is the level of constraint here. It's powerful, but very focused. These anchors, they only store a 32-byte hash. That's it.
Just 32 bytes.
Exactly. Think of it like a tiny digital fingerprint, a super precise one. It's actually a Merkle root, which, you know, aggregates potentially millions of internal system events into this one single very short signature. And they're absolutely forbidden, strictly, from holding any sensitive data, PII, transaction details, none of that. Their only job. Decentralized timestamping, proving something happened when it happened. Period.
Okay, that level of restriction.
Yeah.
It makes sense for security, yeah. But then, why the complexity? Why use all these external chains? Wouldn't it be, I don't know, simpler, maybe faster, cheaper, just to use one really solid internal ledger for the proof?
Ah, but that's where the governance thinking comes in. They talk about avoiding something called the circular trust fallacy.
Circular trust fallacy.
Yeah. If your system relies only on its own records to prove its own integrity, well, what happens if the system itself gets compromised? Whether that's a technical failure, or maybe, you know, someone forces them to change things.
And the ledger's compromised too.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Exactly. So the solution they landed on is this architectural separation. Cool. Think of TL, the main system, as the executive branch. It does all the work, the operations. But these external anchors, they're the judicial branch. They provide that independent, immutable judgment on the system's history. It's sort of like requiring every major internal company decision to be notarized publicly by 5 different, completely unrelated global firms.
5? Wow. Okay, hang on. Mandating 5 different blockchains. Isn't that serious overkill? Seems like a huge operational headache.
It seems like it, but it's really the core of their defense in depth. The system mandates using multiple unrelated and geopolitically diverse ledgers. A proof isn't considered fully, like, globally confirmed unless it gets validated by a 3 of 5 quorum.
3 out of 5.
3 out of 5. And here's where it gets really interesting from a security perspective. To actually compromise a single historical proof, an attacker would have to successfully attack and then rewrite the history of 3 different high-security public blockchains, all at the same time.
Okay, the cost and coordination for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds astronomically difficult.
Right. Near impossible, hopefully.
And they enforce this how? You mentioned something about a quantitative constitution.
Exactly. This isn't just a vague goal of decentralization. TL turns it into hard, non-negotiable, auditable metrics for picking these anchor chains. It's like a literal compliance checklist for how trustworthy a potential anchor chain is.
Okay, give me some examples. What kind of numbers are we talking?
Sure. Well, a big one is the Nakamoto coefficient. They mandate it must be 20 or greater,
meaning
you'd need at least 20 independent entities, validators or mine pools or whatever, to collude just to potentially compromise the consensus of that one anchor chain.
20. Okay, that's a high bar.
It is. Then there's the Gini coefficient. It needs to be 0.70 or less. This measures, basically, how power is distributed in the network. A low Gini means validation power is spread out pretty evenly, making collusion much harder. You don't have just a few big players dominating.
Makes sense. Less concentration of power.
Right. And crucially, geopolitically, no single country, no single legal jurisdiction can host more than 33% of a chain's active consensus nodes. This prevents, you know, one government potentially leaning on the network or seizing control.
Wow. Okay, so this level of rigor, what does it actually mean for, say, you using the system, or for a regulator looking at it? It sounds like they designed this whole thing with legal admissibility squarely in mind, like
right,
meeting those tough US and EU standards for electronic timestamps.
Absolutely. And the real bridge there, the innovation, is what they call the TL audit interface. It enables programmatic certification.
Some programmatic certification?
Yeah. Instead of like hiring lawyers to manually generate affidavits for potentially billions of time-stamped proofs, which is just impossible at scale, the system itself gets audited and certified once the system has that certification.
I mean, guess the interface can just automatically generate the legally required paperwork.
You got it. The system effectively signs its own proof, connecting that deep cryptographic certainty directly to legally admissible evidence. And it can do it on demand at massive scale.
Okay, that's pretty clever. All right, final thought then. Here's something provocative. The TL framework actually assumes that individual anchor chains will fail eventually or just become obsolete, you know, as tech moves on.
Which is realistic, right? Things change.
Exactly. So they have this anchor registry concept. It lets them gracefully retire old chains. Maybe one fails, maybe one just isn't secure enough anymore without ever breaking the historical record. The proofs anchored to that old chain remain valid.
Because the validity comes from the 3 of 5 quorum, not from any single chain surviving forever.
Precisely. The system is designed for what they call crypto agility. It ensures that your proof, the proof that something existed or happened at a specific time, remains verifiable for you decades down the line, even when the specific blockchains that first recorded it are, well, ancient history. Food for thought.